I invite you now to take your Bibles so that we can open up God's Word to us this morning. Once again, we'll turn to the letter to the Philippians, page 982 in your pew Bibles. And guess what? We've come to the final three verses of this letter. We began this series over a year ago, if you can believe it. And 24 sermons later, here we are. Don't worry, this is not a usual thing to do a series in this time. But let's go and turn to God's Word. We'll read a portion from the very beginning of the letter, as well as from the end. So I'd like to first read it from chapter 1. Philippians 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let's now turn to the final chapter, and we'll begin reading at verse 19. The last three verses, 21 to 23, will be what we focus on this morning. Chapter 4, 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So far, in God's Word, may He bless it to our lives. After the sermon, we respond by singing the first four stanzas of hymn 23, which are based, of course, on God's Word and this letter of the great example that Christ set for us. Hymn 23, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4 after the sermon. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, today, as we saw, we will consider Paul's concluding words. And in the process of doing this, I hope we'll see how this whole letter is just so infused with Jesus Christ. From the greeting to the conclusion, Jesus Christ is the focus. It is the source of all that Paul does and says. See, we are left with no doubt that Paul lives by his words, because for him to live is Christ. And so I preach to you God's Word from Philippians 4, verses 21 to 23, and I'd like to use this theme. As with the whole letter, Paul's concluding words to the Philippians are infused with Jesus Christ. We'll see that Paul offers his readers, first of all, greetings in Christ Jesus. Secondly, the grace of Jesus Christ. First, we'll look at his greetings in Christ Jesus. And we might think, so what can we learn from personal greetings? I mean, all of Paul's letters end with both greetings from himself as well as from others. Surely these words are between him, the writer, and his readers, no? And it's true, they are final greetings that can be found in any letter, but there is still a lot we can learn from these words. There is a good reason why the Holy Spirit has included them in the inspired Word of God. For example, one thing we can sure take note of is that they too are, these words that are normal in a letter, they are full, they are filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. There's something that we should notice here. Remember how we read at the very beginning how Paul addressed them to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. You see, right from the very start, Paul stresses the unity there ought to be among the whole congregation. And while this is found throughout the letter, now Paul speaks to every saint. See, there's a big difference between all the saints and every saint. The focus now is on each member of the congregation. Everyone is of the same worth to God. Each one has been set apart by God and belong to Him in Christ Jesus, without, of course, taking away from the unity of a church. Brothers and sisters, we should take note of this. And I don't mean just in the sense that we accurately translate Paul's words, but in the sense of how we view each other. Quite often, we have no problem dealing with and talking about abstract things, theological ideas. But how often are we thinking about individual people? Notice how Paul just previously praised our God. To our God and Father be glory forever. This is definitely one of those great theological truths. Talks about our calling to glorify God, etc. And of course, these are very good things to think about. But then Paul moves directly from this to thinking about those who are the ones who would give glory to God. His mind goes to each of his dearly loved friends in Philippi. So it is good that we also take some time to consider, how do we think about our fellow believers? What about our brothers and sisters sitting right here in the pew? I mean, some of us are kind of obnoxious, aren't we? Some can be very critical of you. And then there are those who are really, really hard to love. With some, we might even wonder if they have the love of Jesus in their hearts. My brothers and my sisters, God is going to use every believer of Jesus to give glory to Him. They, like you, will join in with the angels in a heavenly choir. Perhaps it will be a little bit easier to live with them and them with you if we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ in terms of who they really are. God's very special people, bought by the blood of His Son Jesus. Or maybe it'll help if we remember that their purpose is exactly the same as ours, to give glory to God. Then their slightly obnoxious character, their actions, their words, they're going to be a lot easier to deal with. For every one of us share in Christ Jesus. We are holy. We have Christ's holiness. We are saints. Only because of the holiness that we receive from Christ. Because we are united with Christ, we are set apart as God's own people. And so there is that call for us to be of the same mind, having the same love. Chapter 2, verse 2. We are to count others more significant than ourselves. 2, verse 3. And most of all, let us strive to have the same mind, the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. We see then why Paul himself sends his greetings to each and every saint in Philippi. But then he also sends greetings from the brothers who are with him, from all the saints, especially from those of Caesar's household. We don't really know which brothers surrounded Paul at this time, though it is clear they were obviously some people that were by his side. All the saints probably refers to whatever members were part of the local church, and as I mentioned before, this is probably in Rome. He has no problem passing greetings on from all of them, because all belong to one another as part of the body of Christ. Then comes a statement that is quite puzzling. Greetings, especially from the saints in Caesar's household. Yep, we're talking about the Caesar, the emperor of the whole Roman Empire. But we should realize that the term household does not necessarily refer to his direct family. More likely, the household of Caesar refers to his slaves, maybe even his freed slaves, possibly the guards as well. You might remember how while Paul was in prison, he could praise God that even his imprisonment was being used by God to advance the gospel. Then he tells us in 1 verse 13, the whole palace guard knew that Paul's chains were in Christ. How ironic, isn't it? Both Paul and the Philippians, they suffer because of those who are devoted to the Caesar. There was a lot of emperor worship going on. But from within his own household, there are those who are for Jesus Christ. You see, this would have been so comforting for the Philippians. The power of the emperor, or whatever power of the day, is no match for the power of the gospel. This message is, of course, not just for the Philippians, is it? We too need to hear about the wonderful power of the gospel. Never doubt it, brothers and sisters. Never doubt it. One day it will happen that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This Jesus, who gave up all the glories of heaven, who came down taking the form of a slave, he humbled himself and he died death of the cross for you and for me. He is the reason we love each other and we love God. He is the reason we can greet each other as one in His name. And all of this is summarized with that wonderful word, grace. So I'd like to move on to our second point, where we look at the blessing given by Paul to the Philippians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Again, we see how Paul ends this letter in the same way he began, reminding his readers of the grace of God. From the greeting we read, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the conclusion, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is much more than just some closing formula that Paul uses. Paul desires that his readers, including us today, have as last words a reminder of the gospel message. For the gospel message is all about the grace of God. Yes, notice how Paul speaks of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is always from Him, from Christ. See, already we can see how infused, how saturated these final words are with Jesus Christ. See, in this way they are such a true reflection of the whole letter. From grace to grace, Christ is everywhere. And if you're not convinced, I'd like to share with you a little research I did using my Bible software program. There are 104 verses in this letter. Out of those 104 verses, Christ is referred to 49 times. That means that every two or three verses, Christ is mentioned. And in this final benediction too, the sole focus is on Jesus Christ. Only He is able to give the grace of God to the church. Only through Christ does every believer experience His grace. And what Paul proclaims, what is being proclaimed right now off of this pulpit, is not some kind of thing or concept that is out there. It is a person. A person, Christ. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to take the cue from this blessing of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also because we are concluding this sermon series, it's fitting to go through this short letter and just remind ourselves and see how Jesus Christ is so very central. And this is something, of course, that we ought to take, apply it to our lives. I encourage you to open up your Bibles, or if you have your Bibles open, you can follow along with me. Because we begin at the very first verse already. Paul and Timothy, we read this, of course, introduce themselves as servants of Christ Jesus. The tone of this letter is set, isn't it? They are servants. They are slaves. And as slaves, their goal is to let the greatness of their master shine. And then he addresses those to whom he is writing to, saints. Holy ones, in Christ Jesus. Isn't it just so true, brothers and sisters? Our very being depends on Him. We are united to Christ. Our life is in Him. Without Him, that is, apart from Christ, we simply would not even be saints at all. Now, as we would have seen going through this letter, part of the reason that Paul is writing is to update them on his situation. And yes, unfortunately, Paul is in chains. But even then, verse 13, even then, just listen to how Paul describes his captivity. My imprisonment is for Christ. Paul rejoices because his chains have caused some brothers in the Lord to more boldly speak the word. Verse 14. This being said, there were also those who were preaching Christ out of envy or selfish ambition. But even though that is the case, Paul can rejoice for one reason only. Either way, Christ is being proclaimed. That is his secret. That is the source of his joy. And yet Paul does not know for sure what will happen to him. Talk about uncertainty in one's life. Sitting in prison, knowing that a guilty verdict will no doubt mean death. And yet he knows this will turn out for their deliverance because of the help of the Spirit of, you guessed it, Jesus Christ. It's verse 19. And then verses 20 and following, Paul gives us an example to live by as he explains his hope that he will not be ashamed, that Christ will be honored in his body. See, as we turn back and look at all of these passages, we are really reminded of how, for Paul, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Brothers and sisters, as we pause here for a minute, let's really give this some thought as to what this really teaches us. And that is that Jesus Christ is to fill us. He is to make us who we are. Can we say, along with Paul, Jesus Christ is my life? Let's continue with this letter. You see, our brother Paul does not live with his head in the sky. He knows we are called to live here on earth. And listen then to how the Holy Spirit gives us very practical instruction. Chapter 1, verse 27. Let your manner of life or your conduct, let it be worthy of the gospel of Christ. 1 verse 29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. And then of course we come to that part of God's Word, probably the most well known of this letter, where Jesus Christ is offered up as the example for us all to follow. We find that in the beginning of chapter 2. First of all, he exhorts his believers to unity through humility. We are called to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. They're familiar words, brothers and sisters, but isn't this remarkable? We wouldn't be told to do so if it were not possible to have the mind of Christ. Jesus who came down for us and our salvation. Jesus who humbled Himself from the glory in heaven to the point of death. Yes, death on the cross even. Let that mind be in you. So let us be reminded once again to continue to strive to take on this attitude of humility and service. We are only halfway chapter 2. We can already see how Christ is everywhere in this letter. But wait, there is more. Even when Paul makes his plans, these can seem so mundane to us. When he talks about his intentions, we see that he does so in Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you. I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself also will come. See, we just can't hear this enough. Everything, every plan, every activity in our lives ought to be ruled by our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. For we are in Christ. Then of course we simply can't be busy with a bit of a summary of this letter and not talk about joy. Paul addresses the joy a believer can have. Often, in fact, joy is one of the main themes are one of the main things that comes out when you read this letter. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Don't just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And this command is repeated in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. There is so much reason for joy and rejoicing when we are in Christ Jesus. That is definitely clear from Paul's own life. He has suffered the loss of all things, he explains to us, that he might gain Christ. Chapter 3, verse 9. And to be found in Him, having the righteousness that is through faith in Christ. We are taught even about knowledge and power. That I might, writes Paul, that I might know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Chapter 3, verse 10. My brothers and my sisters, God tells us all this for a reason. Let's ask ourselves, can we say this too? Is this seen in our lives? Do we consider things that we normally would put our trust in as not having any value at all for the sake of Christ? Are we gaining Him? Knowing Him? Yes, we can use some other words from Him. Are we doing all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens us? Let us be encouraged this morning as we hear of the certain hope of what is to come, as we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 20, we see how our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He comes, Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. Let us long for that day of Christ. Until that day comes, we are called to live with Jesus Christ as we live, as He lives in us by His Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1. More instruction for us. We are to live in harmony in the Lord. We can know that the Lord is at hand. Verse 5. We are to let our reasonableness or let our gentleness be known to all. 4, verse 6. Let us be anxious for nothing, praying to God with thankfulness, and the peace of God will, God's Word tells us, brothers and sisters, the peace of God will guard our hearts through Christ Jesus. Yes, we can turn to God as the fountain of all good. We read this part, 4 verse 19, He will supply all our need according to His riches and glory, again, in Christ Jesus. Truly, we can exclaim with Paul, to our God, to our Father, be glory forever. And you see, Paul's last words now brings all of this together. And it points us to the wonderful way which makes this all possible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, what a beautiful account we have in this letter to the Philippians of Jesus Christ, of His perfect work. Everything in this letter, from the beginning to the end, every bit in between, focuses on and is infused with Christ. That is also how our lives should be. I encourage you to read, reread this whole letter in one sitting from start to finish, often. And just let it sink in how central Jesus Christ is. We can also take note that in this letter, Christ is not just some vague idea, someone who lived in a long time ago. Christ is not something that is difficult for us to grasp. He is right here with us always. He is our anchor. He is sure. He is dependable. My dear brothers and sisters, hang on to that anchor. Cling to the rock that is Jesus Christ. See, Paul proclaims Christ as a treasure. He is a treasure that is completely worth seeking at all cost. Any cost. We could say it is eternally worth it. For Jesus Christ, we should remember, has already laid hold of us. Let us then strive to take hold of Him. May our hearts be warmed by this wonderful gospel news. The Holy Spirit greets every holy one of God in Christ Jesus. And this Jesus is our hope. He is our life. May you accept this great message of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace today. Don't wait. Do it now. For then the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with us all. What more could we possibly want? Amen.